Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Sonical Series, and this is the ebook series where we attempt to methodically go through Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation and just bring out the truths of it. It's just incredible because with everything that's going on with the holdup with the Vatican, with the critical edition being released. Again, the Archbishop of Corrado stated, I think in 20 or 2022, I'm not quite sure which year, there's sort of a standstill right now. There's no errors, there's no problems per se from that perspective, but there are, as he quotes it, certain, quote, ambiguities. There are certain things that are aspects of Luis's writings that cannot be explained. And Jesus knew this. He foretold this. He said to Luis that the church is going to try to understand this from a human perspective, and that's impossible. And we're not sure when we're going to have that critical edition, and that's the one that'll supersede all the other versions that are out there right now in publication. But we do have the dissertation, which has the abrogation, which is the scholastic word for approval, and it's by the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See. So in essence, the church has indeed through the Pontifical University, put its seal of approval on this. So, again, listening to the admonition, the suggestion of the late Archbishop Pacieri, he says anyone journeying in the divine will, reading and listening to these volumes, should have a priest available for any theological questions that they may have. And of course, a divine will priest would be a huge difference between just a priest that doesn't understand anything about it or even rejects it due to no knowledge of it. So. But again, we have everything using this because it's written by a priest, summarized by a priest. The priest drives us into the volumes, one of the premier Divine Will priests. And again, it's all under the auspice and approval of the university and of the Holy See. So we've got everything we need. No, we have no excuse not to continue journeying. I have also no excuse to bring in Maureen. Hi, Maureen. I'm going to unmute you right now.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody.
Okay, so we're going to pray, as we always do. So we'll begin now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So just a joy to be together. Really grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. Wouldn't you agree, Maureen?
Oh, yes. When you read the Divine Will, you realize why we're... before I read the Divine Will, I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to be alive now. But after finding out about the Divine Will, you're like, oh, now I see why it's such a great time.
It's just, I mean, and you don't have that question anymore. Why now? I mean, that was always a question I think most of us have at one point or another. Why now? Even Louisa said it. I don't know if it was her question or she was articulating it for one of us or several of us. But we know now. And Our Lady at Fatima, she mentioned something to the extent that when all hope will appear to be lost, that will usher in the triumph of my Immaculate Heart. So, I mean, the script is set. The play is being acted out perfectly, of course, because the producer and the director and the creator is God himself. So we know this is going to be perfect unless we get in the way. And, you know, he loves us so much, Maureen, that he's written the play, he's written the book of our lives, but he gives us editing capability. But anytime we edit, we change the story, we mess up things. So if we just leave it as the author has written it, remember when Adam's first words were something to the extent of, my God, the author of my life, excuse me. So again, re-articulating the fact that God has written our books, and we're so blessed that he gives us that opportunity to even grab more if we want to. So Maureen, we're still on this this beautiful segue of the divine will, and we're in where is it here? Oh, by the way, anyone who hasn't read Volume 16, February 2nd, 1924, it explains about the cog, and it really addresses the current situation where God is calling a small group of people to be more intimately engaged with him than ever before since Adam and Eve. And he's doing so that we may take in these truths. They may permeate to our intellect. They may reside in our memory, and then through the grace of God, be effectuated and created and sort of parlayed into wisdom. Because it's the wisdom that will give us the constancy of what we know and what we believe and what we know that we have to do. And there's a lot written on wisdom. I had a couple of quotes here, but I don't know if we're going to have time, so I don't want to go down, I think, that road right now. But this, again, wisdom is the key here. And again, it's a process. It could be a quick process. It could be a slow process. You know, we hear, we read, we listen. It goes into the intellect, into the memory, and then hopefully permeates into wisdom. And again, it's constancy also. You know, Jesus talks about this also, Maureen. The more we do something, the more we get accustomed to doing it, the more it becomes second nature. And then it'll gravitate into our nature, and then it'll be who we are. And again, so it's practice, it's a process. But again, no one can put a time limit on it because it's different for each and every one of us. It could be years, it could be instant. I mean, Louisa said in one of the readings that she was receiving these knowledges on an instantaneous basis. Where is it here? I think this is from volume, I don't have the volume right here, but she said it was this lofty and sublime instantaneous way for the creator, for God to reveal himself to his creature. In a mere instant, many things of a supernatural nature are learned. And this goes for others besides Louisa, not limited to Louisa. But Louisa also often confessed that they were very difficult to communicate to others. She said that. That's just like what Father Nuzzi says. He says the divine will is very difficult to explain to others, but is very easy to understand once we accept it. And that's, I think, easy to see also, because when we give our fiat, God says, okay, you want it? Here are the grace and graces to understand it. So it's really when we come into the divine will, and he actually states that too, that's when he can give us the bulk, the vast majority of the grace and graces, he says, can only be received once we're in the divine will, once we're journeying. And that, you know, sometimes is misunderstood also. To journey doesn't mean we have to be at the level of Louisa. I think it was volume 6, I think it is, maybe correct me, Maureen, that Jesus says, really, basically, you must be in the state of grace, you must have an ardent desire, and you must have an upright intention. I mean, upright intention, meaning we want this for God first, to please him above all. You know, to be in the state of grace, we have control over that, whether we go to use the sacrament of reconciliation or not. What did I say? Upright intention, state of grace. Oh, ardent desire. Again, do we really desire this? And if you really want to know what Jesus means by an ardent desire, because I didn't know, but Father Nuzzi was able to extrapolate different lines from different passages where Jesus explains these are the ingredients that make up an ardent desire. And we put it into a little bit of a flow chart. We let Father Nuzzi review it. He said it's fine. So that's on the website at queenofthedivinewill.org. And it's on the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids. So again, most of them are common sense, you would expect them to be there, but some, there are some surprises there. So again, the best way we can have that and develop that ardent desire is to recognize what God is expecting of us. And he explained to us, and again, Father took it out. It's in that little bit of a flow chart. And again, I highly recommend we look at that. I don't think anything else. But volume 16 is really great about the COG, and we hope that we're all a member of that small group, and I kind of think we are.
I like when you said, Peter, that as long as we're on the, in the journey, like, because I see myself on the road, I'm on the right road, and that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. I'm not where Louisa is, and that's okay. Because I've had people ask me that, and I think that's a good way to put it. We're on the journey, and if you're on the journey, you can live in the divine will in certain ways. You know, you're not perfectly there, but you're on the right road, and Jesus gives the gift on loan, so there's goodness there. I mean, even if we're not a saint yet, or we're not, you know, you still advance, and I think too, the fact that Louisa was a nothing, she acquired it more easily, and we think that the nothing is if you're humble. Well, that's not good enough. You have to be a nothing to completely live in the divine will. So that's something that we have to meditate on. Myself, as I read the divine will, I realize how strong my will is. So that's good. I know how strong my will is, and that's not a good thing, but at least I know now. Right. So I know what I have to work on. Yeah.
Well, that's why when God says, you know, he's going to allow us to know him better and to know ourselves better. Well, what greater way to know what we have to work on than is to know our faults, our frailties. I mean, our drinking buddies are not going to be the first ones to tell us we're drinking too much. Our golfing buddies are not going to be the ones that are going to tell us we're golfing too much. So we need this perspective, this clearest perspective, independent perspective of what we're doing wrong. And nobody's got a greater perspective than God, because he sees everything. Yeah. So we know what to work on. And that's what's so beautiful. And you know, humility, you mentioned humility. Now, there's a bit of a paradox there too, because Jesus states that the greatest, I don't know what the word he used, but he said one of the most important component of humility is confidence. And that threw me for a loop to begin with. What is confidence? Isn't it the opposite of you? No, because when we know something, we don't have to go around proving it. You don't have to be, you know, I don't know. I remember, silly story, but you know, one of my young days, we used to go down to the beach. One of my friends was a big bodybuilder, and he was the kindest guy in the world, because he never had to prove that he's a tough guy or he's a big guy. I mean, he was big just to look at him, but he was very kind, very gentle, soft-spoken. And I think that confidence, when we know that we know, and that we know that we know, if that makes any sense, I think I think it's going to change our whole demeanor. Yeah. And we become, I think, more loving and more docile, I think. Yeah. Doesn't always work for me either. So I'm with you, Maria. But the fact that we can see that,
I think that's right. That's a plus.
It really is a
for
blessing.
Us and all those who we live with, right?
That's true. And yeah, you know, being a nothing is quite nice too, because while we're nothings, think about it. We are nothing without God, but with God, we are everything to God.
That's right.
And he gives us that great analogy of, in the document, the nothingness of the soul. He says, we're nothing but a shadow.
Yeah.
And if you think about that, what a great example, because the shadow is something. But if the shadow doesn't have that object that's creating the shadow, there is no shadow. So God is that, in essence, that object. Without God, there's no shadow. There's no us. With God, there is that shadow, which is an entity. It's a real thing. It exists. And that's what we are. So without God, we really don't exist. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, he calls us a lot of things in the volumes, you know, robbers, robbers of the benefits of the grace and grace that is given to all of humanity. You know, we're basically, we're using it without any thanksgiving, without any repayment. And again, he's not looking for money. He's just looking for our love and affection. He wants his paternity back. That's really, in a nutshell, what he says. I want to be your father again. And that's just all love. That's all he's looking for.
I was thinking today, you know, it says how we can't live with, I forget, I think we're on 35. We were reading 35 or 36 today. It says we cannot live without God, but he doesn't want to live without us. And that
Right.
really amazes me that I know we can't live without God, but the fact that he loves us so much that he doesn't want to live without us, that's really something when you think about it.
Yeah. No, that really is. That really is. You know, I was thinking about today too, and I don't mean to digress. This is really not digressing. I was thinking about Our Lady. I think about Our Lady often, at least I try to. And I remember the quote of in our catechism, Article 507, which states, I'm not going to read the entire thing, I'll just read a couple lines. Quote, at once Virgin and Mother, Mary is the symbol and the perfect realization of the Church, end quote. So go to our Mother, as Jesus says in the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, I cannot deny her of anything she asks of me. And he means that. That's powerful. I mean, over history too. I mean, another quote I love saying too is from Mary's Magnificat, for the mighty one has done great things for me. We can all say that. For us, we can say she has done great things. The greatest thing of which is to allow us to be born, of course, through the consent of her son and to bring us this gift of the divine will. But her words are so powerful that even those non-believers really are believers in a different way. For example, what I mean is regarding the Magnificat, the government of Guatemala in the 1980s recognized the subversive nature of Mary's song, the Magnificat, and the government found Mary's proclamation that God is especially concerned for the poor to be so dangerous and so revolutionary that it banned the Magnificat from any public recitation or any of Mary's words. That's how much they believe in the power of Mary. And then also the Magnificat was banned from being sung or read in India under British rule in also the 1980s. So I guess the 1980s was a tough time for people accepting Our Lady. But
Wow, that's
again,
amazing.
what's so dangerous about that? Because Mary speaks the truth. Mary brings us to her son. And most, if not all, the dignitaries and the leaders today, they don't want any challenge. It's just like, you know, why were the Pharisees and the scribes so adamant toward Jesus? The major reason was because they feared loss of power. They feared loss of position. You know, Herod did. Just really interesting how everything can work. Our Lord can be crucified over and over again, and it's continuing, but it's all going to stop. So thanks be to God. Okay, so we are still on 6.1.5.1, the exchange of properties in Father's Annuzzi's dissertation. And this is Father's summary, Father Annuzzi's summary, and he's going to drive us into the volumes, and we're still on 103. So Marie, maybe we can just take this from the top. It's like 2.5 lines, and we'll stop at 103 and go to the footnote.
Okay.
Let me see if I can bring up something here. You can start without me.
Okay, 6.1.5.1, exchange of properties. If Thomas describes that the human will of Christ as sharing in the operation of his divine will that moves and rules, such that the different wills in Christ accomplish one in different operation, to Louisa, Jesus reveals how his divine will cooperated with my human will, how everything remained linked within me, how I did and redid everything, and how each thought of every soul was redone by me and sealed with my divine will.
Well, and that's why we're striving now to repeat Jesus' humanity, because we recognize that the sharing of the operation between the divinity and his humanity was perfect. Again, we can do the same. He's offering that also. And that's also, that's not available except through grace. And grace is a mystical gift. And we know that mystical gifts are not given equally like our baptismal gifts. They're given unequally. They're given to whomever God wishes, whenever he wishes, to what extent he wishes. But we can all recognize, I think, that we've all received at least one, and I know it's many, but more than one, mystical gift, that we recognize this gift of living the divine will as being something extraordinary. And how can 10 people look at the same thing and 9 out of 10 say, it's nice, but you know, I don't have time for it. And one of us say, wow, there's something unnatural about this. This is spectacular. This is incredible. This is indescribable. You know, how can 1 out of 10 or even less than that do that? You know, and we'll read about that later, because Jesus says his divine will has two opposite effects. And we'll go into that a little bit later on. So that brings us to footnote number 103, Maureen. And we've been toying with this for a while. We can, I think we're going to start this from the top. There's only a couple stops. It's not every line like sometimes. And then we can have a little bit of a discussion.
Okay, volume 12, January 29th, 1919. Now, we have arrived at approximately the third 2,000 years, and there will be a third renewal. This is the reason for the general confusion, which is nothing other than the preparation for the third renewal. If in the second renewal I manifested what my humanity did and suffered, and very little of what my divinity was accomplishing, now, in this third renewal, after the death, after the earth will be purged and a great part of the current generation destroyed, I will be even more generous with creatures, and I will accomplish this renewal by manifesting what my divinity did within my humanity.
And again, making it easy for us there, Maureen, you know, explaining to us what his divinity did within his humanity. Again, this is a great, great example, you know, for someone who's pondering, you know, why are we going through these times? Why is it so awful? And basically, Jesus gives us a really, really short answer to it. The confusion is because the third renewal is underway. It's begun. The second Pentecost has begun. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary has begun. This is not just my words. These, you know, Father Nuzzi states the same. Father Celso cooperates with that also. So does Mother Gabriel. So, and many others. So it's all started. And then the icing on all that, or the cherry on top, would be the fact that there are, we recognize now, we find out, we learn that there are three comings of our Lord. Yes, I said right. Three comings, not two. The third lies between the other two. The first happened 2,000 years ago. The second has not happened. Will happen at the end of time. This is the intermediate coming, spoken to by many, but more specifically by St. Cyril Jerusalem, a church doctor. I think he was a church doctor. And St. Bernard of Clairvaux, a doctor and father of the church. Both of them speak of these three comings. They speak about the third lying between the two. They in fact, St. Cyril talks about it, that the third coming, this intermediate coming, will bring a divine kingdom. He used those exact words. And this is back in the year maybe 340, 330. So again, God was just planting all these seeds. He was leaving all these breadcrumbs so that we may see these. And St. Bernard, which was his contemporary, about 1250, I think it was, he speaks more at length about this coming. He says it's invisible, while the other two are visible. And he says this is what's going to change everything. Think about it. It's invisible. It's mystical. It's spiritual. Nobody can stop this. Nobody can stop this. I mean, at an apparition, perhaps the authorities can say, you know, clear the area. No one can be here. Of course, our Lady will find ways to get around that. But there's nobody that can stop this except ourselves. God is running underground wires, so it doesn't matter how windy it gets up on top of the surface. Everything's underground. It goes right in. Louis de Montfort spoke about this also. He's talking about this interior coming of our Lord. You know, he didn't call it the intermediate coming, but he alleged to it also. And that's when he also says that they'll be the greatest of all saints. It'll be Mary, the one that's going to be conditioning, positioning them again through the auspice and the direction of her blessed son. So it's all here. And again, if you imagine, Maureen, I was just thinking about this again today. I know we've mentioned this. But now that we recognize that this intermediate coming, Christ coming, is actually in effect right now, you imagine if we were to miss this, sort of miss the boat? I mean, we've been waiting for this rowboat to come in for, you know, for years. Well, here it is, the Queen Mary. We're going to miss it. There's no way. If we know now what we know, and we know that we know, there's no way, I think, that we can make this, that we cannot make this our life. Again, that may take some time based on our responsibilities, and God knows that too. We can't just neglect our responsibilities, but we have to figure out a way and find a way to get rid of the frivolous things in our lives. You know, maybe we can't create 25 hours in a day, but we can make better use of that time. Remember what was it, the souls in purgatory? They said if they could have a regret, it would be that they did not make better use of the time while on earth. And of course, the saints, a major contention was that they wished they had more time on earth in which to suffer because they realized the value. So again, make the use of time, embracing the cross. Remember, Jesus says, I've placed more grace in the cross than I have in the sacraments. I said that to somebody in charge of some groups, and she said, well, we'll keep that quiet. No, we don't want to keep that quiet. That's not something you want to blurt out when you're first introducing the divine. Well, of course, because a good Catholic is without understanding that's going to probably run away from you. But it is something that we have to acknowledge. I mean, do we believe that?
Well, you know what? It would be like, I think people should say, oh, good, I'm on a cross. This club is for me. I mean, everybody has a cross, so everyone's welcome. It's like your welcoming button, you know? I mean,
right. That's a good way to put it.
You know, if you have a cross, this is for you.
That's a good way to put it.
Don't waste it. That's what Louis de Montfort said too. He said, everybody's cross is measured just for them, the breadth, the width, the depth. Don't drag it. Hold it up high because it's for you. So I'm preaching to myself, you know.
That's how we help ourselves by talking about it. And I talk to myself all day long, and sometimes in public, and people look at me like I'm not well, and I'm really not well. But
a lot of people do that.
I don't admit it, but I'm really not well. I'll be the first one. My wife knows, but very few people know I'm not well, but I'm not well. Okay, I think we can continue.
Okay. I will manifest how my divine will cooperated with my human will, how everything remained linked within me, how I did and redid everything, and how even each thought of every soul was redone by me and sealed with my divine will. My love wants to pour itself out. It wants to make known to what excess my divinity went when operating in my humanity for love of souls. The excess that greatly surpasses that which my humanity operated externally.
Okay. He's pointing the direction again. God, he hits us with these truths, but he leads us up and gets us conditioned for it in different ways. I mean, sometimes he'll condition us in like volume 3 or some spectacular truth in volume 6, but we'll remember it eventually if God wants us to, that, hey, we talked about this in volume 3. Mm-hmm. He'll be more generous with creatures. He'll accomplish the renewal by manifesting what my divinity did within my humanity. So we talk about this also on the on Crossing the Exile, which again, Maureen is also a part of, and Ken Johnson, where God has said, okay, things are going to get so bad or could get so bad that you need more grace. So to be just, God is giving us an opportunity to move him to give us even more. Remember, God says the greatest thing we can do to receive this gift is to move God, to persuade him to give it to us or convince him that we desire this. Well, he's taken it to another level now. Now he says, okay, I want you to enchant me. And he's enchanted again through the cross, through our journey every day, ups and downs, even those days when we don't fare well. But he doesn't want us to give up. He looks at the way we're responding, not reacting in most instances. And he says, if you do this and just stay steadfast, be constant, trust me. He says, you will enchant me. And that's, you know, moving God is condensed in a component of enchantment. Enchantment's even greater than that. So he's going to give us even greater grace in order to get through what we need to get through. So God's giving again this opportunity. Crossing the Exile on Wednesdays is really great. I think it's really great. The material is fantastic. That's Wednesdays at what time is that, Maureen? 7 o'clock, right?
7.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, Peter, you know, so we know it's going to get bad. So if we know it's going to get bad, I'm saying to myself, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, be with me. You know, so if we open ourselves to Jesus and he's with us through whatever's coming, I mean, that just is such a comfort. So the more we empty ourselves, whether we're, you know, Jesus wants to pour himself out. He calls it like sometimes he says, I need a shelf to put my love on. I need a field. I need a, or I think one time it was a vase that was empty. So, you know, the more we are emptying of ourselves, he can do everything. So it just is very comforting to me. And I want to hurry up and get in the divine will and learn and accept and do whatever he says. And another thing, like when you're reading this, whatever he says, face value, it's true.
Right.
You know, whatever he says, it's true. You don't have to think twice about it. It sounds phenomenal. It sounds like it's impossible, but you just say, he said it. It's true. I believe it. Let's get to the next chapter, you know, or let's learn more and just take it in. And sometimes you'll remember it, like sometimes you don't, but still.
Well, I think you just touched on the key, Maureen, and that goes for everything that God gives us. If we don't believe it to be true, like, for example, the Book of Heaven, do we believe this to be written by Jesus? And if we do, we should be ecstatic. We should be like Matthew, dropping mm-hmm. everything, because Jesus is saying, follow me. No mm-hmm. questions. What are you, mm-hmm. what are you doing? What, Paul, you where? No, Matthew mm-hmm. just said yes. He was right. disposed. He was looking for something greater. So God has not changed his MO, so to speak. He waits for us to make the first move or to take the mm-hmm. first step. And then he runs the race for us. But he waits for us. Again, he's waiting for us in the enchantment to move him during our obstacles and our difficulties while on earth, the crosses in most instances. So he's waiting for us to trust in him, not to lose our cool, but to respond, not to react. He's doing the same thing when he wants us to move him by our fidelity. Again, we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to do this very well. But to a certain extent, I think our Lord is amused by our wretchedness, not mm-hmm. our deliberate sinfulness, but our inability to do anything well. I mean, he's mm-hmm. probably chuckling at certain times because we're a mess. We really can't do anything. But we think we can sometimes, and that's even worse. But again, just dropping everything, just letting everything. That doesn't mean do nothing and sit in the lazy chair with a pina colada and say, okay, God, this is your game. No, we have to be, you know, fidelity is there too. I mean, there's certain things that he's looking for in us. And again, they're not difficult to produce if we really believe it. And again, I really believe he's just waiting for us to take the first step. That's mm-hmm. all he's doing. And he's gonna open the floodgates. And look at what he did with the with entering into the divine will. State of grace, ardent desire, upright intention. That's it. Mm-hmm. You mean there's not page after page after page of requirements? No, that's it. And he says, then you enter. And remember, desire allows us to enter into this gift. Knowledge allows us to advance in this gift. Virtues anchor us in this gift, and life, you know, actually living it out, you know, explicates it, you know, impresses it and shows that that it's true. And, you know, to show this is not to say, look at me, but to also just give others. I mean, the divine will, if you need one word besides love, would be hope.
Yeah.
I mean, this is hope.
Sure.
Because mm-hmm. it's way beyond common sense. It's way beyond common knowledge. It's way beyond our common life today for most people, mm-hmm. I think, vast majority. But it's hope. There really is hope. And God says, you know, hope and charity, and they're side by side. But to have hope makes a world of difference. And I think it's going to turn everything right side up as the world has gone upside down. Again, going back to Fatima, Our Lady stated that there'll come a time there'll be a diabolical disorientation. Good will be bad, bad will be good. Even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. That's exactly where we are now. So Our Lady has been, you know, she's been the crier for all of her apparitions. And where has she been driving us? Where has she been moving us toward? Just like our Blessed Lord, everything has been done to bring us to the divine will. In fact, Jesus says that, I don't have it in front of me right now. I think it's volume 16, where he says everything that he has given to us through the church, the sacraments, the church, everything has been a seed, a means in which to bring us to or back to the divine will. He says that's the primary purpose he has had in everything that he has done. So again, whatever we've done in the past to get here, great, it worked out perfectly, whether we're Dominican order, Franciscan, Carmelite, Mary movement of priests, whatever it is, flame of love, it all was extremely valuable, and without which perhaps we would not be here. But now that we're here, we can still do those devotions. Mm-hmm. But God wants us to put a hold on them first, temporarily, just for the moment. Embrace the gift so that now when we go back to doing our day-to-day, what we're doing, we can bring it under the umbrella of the divine will, which can take it to another level. Again, we're not taking it to another level. God is. Where it can positively effectuate a change to all souls, past, present, and future. This is something unheard of. In fact, the first time I heard it, I just scratched my head. How can that be possible? Well, we know with God, everything is possible. It's glorious. It really is glorious.
We were saying today that if you have trouble, like if you read something, you say, how can this be? Well, we have to remember, if you're in the divine will, Jesus is doing it. Once we realize Jesus is doing it, anything is possible. It's eternal because he's doing it. That's why it's past, present, and future.
That's right.
You know, and it's a simple truth that if we remember it, things make more sense and it flows better. And you become more comfortable with the knowledges and the truths that you learn. You're like, oh, that's right. This is Jesus doing it. What does he say to Louisa? Sit back and let me do, or be quiet and let me do. He always says, let me do.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. He's doing it. And that's, I think, a key to accepting this and feeling comfortable with it.
It is. It is. And, you know, we have to look at it also. I mean, we revere the Gospels. We love them. We treasure them. The Gospels were written by men influenced by Christ. The Book of Heaven was written by Christ.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's the only book written by Christ.
Right.
And let's call it in the prelogue. In the three appeals, you even have God the Father speaking, I think, for two sentences. I mean, we hear the words, we hear the Father using our vernacular, coming down to our level to speak a few words. I highly recommend the three appeals if you haven't. I mean, our Lord, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, beckoning us to come back, appealing. That's what the appeal means. Our Lady doing the same, Louisa, pouring everything out to tell us that, you know, this is it. This is everything we've been looking for, everything that God has been looking for us to uncover. And we're here. We finally arrived. And again, it took our whole life to get us here. And we're going to be grateful for everything that has occurred in our lives, even those really bad, difficult times, because, you know, like a good bumper car, what does a bumper car do? You hit the wall. It's bad, but it puts you into another direction, usually away from other cars. God's mysterious permissible will had to allow for everything to occur in our lives, even those which appeared to be not so positive things at the time, to occur so that we may be here. And then just take a quick test. I think it's a 100% accuracy. Just look back in our lives, take the worst scenario, a worst situation that we went through, worst situation, and just say, if God's permissible will did not allow that event to occur, or that instant to occur, would we be here today? And I think the answer is unequivocally no. We needed that rebound, that change of direction. I know I did. You got to take everything from me. Because I was just stubborn. I didn't blaspheme him. I felt like I didn't need him. Okay, God, I'll call you when I need you. I'm doing pretty good. I'm a big shot. He changed that very quickly. I went crawling back to my parents' house. We don't have to wait until he takes everything from us. We should learn. But I was very ignorant, very stubborn. I wasn't really. I was born Catholic, but I never practiced my faith until I was like 27. So I've got a lot of catch up to do. But again, it's not where you start, but where you finish, I guess. So, but we can help each other. But yeah, once we recognize, to your point, Maureen, that this is written by God, it is true. The church has said it's true. There are no errors in the divine world. There are ambiguities. There are things that the church cannot explain. We mentioned that. But that's okay. Because remember, Jesus tells us in volume 2, faith equals God. So when we believe in faith, we're believing in God. So when he says, when I return, will I find faith? Basically saying, when I return, will anyone want me? Will they be desiring me? Will I be a part of their lives? And I think for many souls, the answer is no. I mean, a lot of times, just trying to even introduce the gift. I mean, people that you think are Catholic, and they'll just tell me outright, "Well, I don't go to church. I don't really believe. I am born Catholic." But so it's an interesting situation. But again, this is the hope. This is the hope, not just for us, but for everybody. And again, we have to do our part. That's all. Shadow can do a lot. The shadow has to recognize that he or she's only a shadow. Okay.
This is also why I often speak to you about living in my will, which I have not manifested to anyone until now. At best, others have known but a pale shadow of my will, that is, the grace and the sweetness of doing it. But to penetrate inside of it, to embrace its immensity, to be multiplied with me, and while on earth, to penetrate everywhere, both in heaven and in hearts on earth, laying down the human ways and acting in divine ways. This is not yet known.
Okay, so here we have a great example of Jesus telling us that this has never been given before. And this is in volume 12, which carries the church's imprimatur in the Hylopstat, and it's Italian translation, so they found nothing wrong with that. So Jesus says, I haven't given this. There may have been glimpses, there may have been incentives given to others, to saints in the past that have spoken about it or spoken about it in an indirect way. He says, but the true gift itself, the gift coming with all the attributes of being able to speed up our journey, to allow us to fill our voids on earth before heaven, thus avoiding purgatory. Again, another thing you probably don't want to say on a first meeting with somebody. Do you know if you gather in the divine will in your journey, you can avoid purgatory? It's probably not what you want to say right away, but it is true. If you're living completely and perfectly in the divine will, Jesus says there will be no purgatory because, again, you're perfectly fused with me. And it's a scientific principle that the stronger the two elements that are fused is the one that remains. And of course, God is stronger than us. So it's us being absorbed by God, but we fused. And again, it sounds too good to be true, but we really have to sit back and say, okay, we're here. We didn't ask to be here. We wake up, our heart's beating, our lungs are breathing, our blood's flowing. Have we done anything to assist in this matter? Yeah, well, we can eat healthy and exercise and do all that stuff, but no, this is all the divine will. So when we say Adam lost everything when he sinned, he didn't actually lose everything. God kept the divine will beating his heart, flowing his blood, and breathing his lungs, because if he had taken that away, Adam would have ceased to exist. And then, of course, there would have been no opportunity for redemption. There would have been no opportunity for sanctification. There would have been no reunion again in heaven with all souls, past, present, and future. So again, he had to keep those things intact. But again, we have to recognize that it's God doing it. Every moment of every day, every breath is a grace. It's a mystical gift, really, by God. And I know I take terrible advantage of that and do not give it the recognition and the thanksgiving that it earnestly deserves. I know that. But I'm trying. I'm working on it. That was my confession for today.
Ditto.
Okay.
Okay. Indeed, not to a few will this appear strange, and those who do not keep their minds open to the light of truth will not understand a thing. But little by little, I will make my way into their hearts, manifesting one moment one truth, another moment another truth about living in my will, so that they will eventually understand it.
What a great line that is. That's why I bolded it. But the way he says it, indeed, not to a few, only a few will not find this to be strange. We'll embrace it like we are. And those who do not keep their minds open for the light will be blinded. They won't understand a thing. And Jesus talks about this. See, volume 36 is so critical because it's sort of like the finale. It's got, God throws everything at us that we need to take away and go home and work on. This is just an excerpt from volume 36, May 19th, 1938. It's basically opposite effects. It's exactly what Jesus just talked about. Maureen, can we read this for, before we end?
So whoever will read these writings with the intention of finding the truth will feel my flames, and all transformed in love will love me more. But whoever will read them to split hairs and find doubts will remain blinded and confused by my light and my love. My children, the goodness of my truths produces two opposite effects. For those who are disposed, it is light, giving sight to their intelligence and the life of sanctity contained in my truths. For those who are not disposed, it is blindness that deprives them of the good contained in my truths.
Another great truth there that explains daily occurrence. So how can 10 people look at the same thing and only one be moved and nine looking at the same thing say, thanks, but no thanks? It's a gift. God has really opened our eyes. He's opened our intellect. He's opened our will to receive this gift. And I think we're in too deep now. There's no way we can go back. In fact, Jesus says anyone who knows, I'm paraphrasing, anyone who knows the value of this gift, even to a certain extent, and rejects it, he says that that soul would have been better off not being born. So we're in too deep. We know now. We know that we know. We know that we know. So that's important. I'd like to end, Maureen, if I may. Mm-hmm. Well, first, do you have any closing thoughts?
Oh, no. No, I was just, that's a great line, that volume 36.
Yeah, it really
what
is.
We just read, yeah. I like that.
And it goes on, it says a little bit more, but that was like the crux of it, which is
I
really
think when we're reading it, everybody that's reading it is thinking of somebody that exactly does that. I guess everyone, I bet you they are. Yeah. Well, as we do our acts and rounds and everything, that beneficial due falls on everyone.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
To help them recognize what God has allowed us to recognize. Yeah, we haven't done any of this on our own, of course.
No.
Okay. I'd like to end, Maureen, with a one-liner from Volume 19, August 31st, 1926. It's so important, but yet so easy. You know, we talk about Jesus making this easy to come into the foyer, to come into his divine will. It's very easy. State of grace, ardent desire, upright intention. He says, you'll come in. And then, of course, depending on what energy we exert, how much we want this, that's how much he'll give us commensurate. But this states, quote, now, how many things there are in my will that I must give to creatures, but they have to come into my will, into its kingdom, in order to receive them, end quote. Again, volume 19, 831, 1926. The plethora, the vast abundance of grace and graces, of mystical gifts, that are contained in this gift of the divine will, the vast majority can only be given to us once we enter into that foyer. And again, state of grace, ardent desire, upright intention. That's why when Father Energy says it, the divine will is very difficult to explain in words, but it's very easy to understand once we accept it. Because again, every time we accept it, we give our fiat, we're given sort of that that language class of being able to decipher and understand the language of heaven. It's not a different vernacular, but it's an understanding behind the vernacular where God lowers himself to speak on their level, which is just, that's unfathomable by itself. We're so blessed.
Yes, we
Oh,
are.
I wanted to just bring up a couple of things. We're also blessed about New Year's Eve. We've got some things going on here, if I may just share briefly. First, see if I have it here. First, on New Year's Eve, on the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, we have at the School of Mary, Mother Gabriel Marie, and the Benedictine Daughters of the Divine Will that will come to us live from Maryville, Tennessee. Yes, Maryville. And that's on Sunday, December 31st, from 2 to 3:30. Live Adoration and the Holy Rosary and the Divine Will begin at 1 p.m. So 1 p.m. for that, 2 p.m. for mothers and the sisters. So that's 2 to 3:30. I think she said she's actually going to take that closer to 4. So you may want to count on that. And then right after Mother will be Reverend Father B. Thomas Celso from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on that same day, December 31st, on the eve of the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. And again, we've got everything. God gives us everything. And we're so blessed. That's all I can say. So thanks be to God for today, for everything he's done. Thank you, Maureen.
Thanks,
and be well, everyone. Hopefully see everyone on Sunday, on New Year's Eve, on the eve of the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, Queen of the Divine Will. Can't get any better than this. Love everyone.
Bye, everybody.